Hello, and welcome to God's Word. Today, we are going to talk about deciding to forgive. Decide to Forgive was an article written by Robert Mueller, former United Nations Assistant Secretary General, written for International Forgiveness Weeks, published in Dear Abby, January 28, 1991. Decide to forgive, for resentment is negative. Resentment is poisonous. Resentment diminishes and devours the self. Be the first to forgive, to smile, and to take the first step, and you will see happiness bloom on the face of your human brother or sister. Be always the first. Do not wait for others to forgive, for by forgiving, you become the master of fate. The fashioner of life, the doer of miracles. To forgive is the highest, most beautiful form of love. In return, you will receive untold peace and happiness. Here is the program for achieving a truly forgiving heart. On Sunday, forgive yourself. On Monday, forgive your family. On Tuesday, forgive your friends and associates. On Wednesday, forgive across economic lines within your own nation. On Thursday, forgive across cultural lines within your own nation. On Friday, forgive across political lines within your own nation. And finally, on Saturday, forgive other nations. Only the brave know how to forgive. A coward never forgives. It is not in his nature. George Romish, in the poem Forgiveness, says, "Forgiveness is the fragrance of the violet that clings to the heel that crushes it." Forgiveness. This was written for an article in the Gospelite newspaper, October of 1998, by Peter Denby Jr. I would like to look at what we are taught in the Bible about forgiveness. The first place that one should look when looking to study about forgiveness is with the Savior himself. Jesus forgave us and those who persecuted him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 tells us that we are to be merciful. Since we are told to be merciful, we need to determine what mercy is. God's mercy is well described in 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9, where it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Long-suffering to usward is talking of his mercy and not ending our invitation to us. Of course, the promise, invitation, in itself is the greatest mercy. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That is our death sentence. But God, through Christ, has been merciful and has forgiven us. So if we are Christians, those who are imitators of Christ, then we need to follow the example. As we look at forgiveness, we need to remember that forgiveness needs to be permanent. Many times people forgive people only to continue to bring up that same issue that was forgotten. Would you like God to be that way? I am glad that He is not. Let us go forth and follow the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ. According to 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 Timothy 1:15. Jesus even forgave Saul, the killer of Christians. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. If Jesus can forgive killers, why can't we? The Bible tells us in many places that Jesus only forgives us of the spiritual consequences of our sins. We are responsible for the physical and all other consequences of our sin. Luke 23:39-43. Luke 23:39-43. Jesus tells the thief who rebuked the other thief that he would be with Jesus in paradise. Notice that the thief would be with Jesus in paradise, thus he had to die on the cross, suffer punishment for his crime. Lately, there has been some question concerning whether it is right for students to post signs saying they forgive the killer of fellow students the day after killings. I add to this, as this was the same thing that happened in South Carolina at the church shootings, and has happened many times in Orlando and other places. But back to this message. I feel that the Bible tells us that we are to forgive them under these circumstances. They ask for forgiveness, and they say that they are willing to repent of their ways. I believe we have no scriptural reason to ask to see fruits of their repentance prior to forgiveness. In the situation above, I do not believe that the killer followed either step. More importantly is this, If he did, would you be willing to forgive him? If he killed a loved one of yours, Saul killed many of Christ's loved ones, and yet Christ forgave him. It might be good, too, if we took the same basic course as Christ, teaching them the true way through Jesus Christ. While the Bible does not use the word forgiveness in the following verse, it teaches the same. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. We are to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. We cannot forgive their sins, but we can lead them to the one who can. We are commanded to teach the greatest forgiveness. We also need to remember that if Jesus forgave them, we must also. Many people discuss Matthew 7, verse 1. Matthew 7, verse 1, with this subject. My understanding of this verse is that judge means condemn. Condemnation is God's job. We should not want that on our conscience. If we properly follow the pattern set forth earlier, then we shall be able to police the church as God would have us do, and still have forgiveness without condemnation. I would like to add a note here that God's plan for dealing with judgment in the church is found in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Returning to our message, we are told to love our enemy. Who is our enemy? Anyone who has wronged us could be considered our enemy. Those who work against us and the word of God are enemies. They are also souls, some of which are lost. It is possible that our forgiveness will help them in their decision to follow Jesus. It did with Saul, later renamed as Paul. We are told to go and settle our differences prior to giving our offering to God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 tells us that we are to be peacemakers. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 tells us that we are to be peacemakers. What kind of peacemaker are we if we do not forgive? we keep the bad feeling going and growing. God tells us often in His Word that we need to go and get our problems with others straightened out prior to coming to Him or going to bed. Not forgiving can end up eating away at our insides. That concludes the message brought in the Gospel Light newspaper, October of 1998. Forgiveness. What have we learned? Christ and God and the Holy Spirit forgive us. We need to forgive others. But what is forgiveness? How does forgiveness, or I should say, what does forgiveness look like? Forgiveness can be from the head, or it can be from the heart. Forgiveness that is from the head is one that may not always be there, and it may not be a true forgiveness. But when you forgive from the heart, then you are forgiving the way Jesus forgave us. You are really allowing that forgiveness to take place and to change how you deal with that person. The Bible says that we are to forgive not 7 times, but 70 times 7. 70 times 70. That should not be a, wow, I need to forgive that many times. No, it should be something that we want to do. Forgiveness is a hard subject, because sometimes forgiving means that you want to tell somebody who has hurt you, maybe in ways that most of us cannot even think about, that you are willing to say, I forgive you for what you did, and maybe for the damage you've caused to me. Many people out there, too many people out there, have been hurt in ways that nobody should ever be hurt in. And rightfully so, forgiveness is hard for them. But if we realize the forgiveness that Christ had for us, and realize that if we are going to be imitators of Christ, that we need to have that same love, that same forgiveness, that same attitude that Christ had for us. It says that we are to go, therefore, and teach all nations. The word all there, I believe, does not just go for teaching one person in each nation. That's not the idea. The idea is that everyone on this earth should hear about God and His saving power through Jesus Christ. It would be nice if every one of them decided to become a Christian, but that's not going to happen. But God has said He is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. So when we come to repentance, when we follow the plan of salvation and become a Christian, are we willing to be true imitators of Christ? Are we willing to show the cornerstone's cornerstone, Jesus' cornerstone, which is forgiveness? Are we willing to put that into our heart, so that it is something that happens all the time? We are forgiving. Because if we're not, how can we be true imitators of Christ if we do not follow what we are told to do? How are we imitators of Christ? We are to forgive, but we are to forgive so much that we forgive them of what they've done and go teach them what Christ has told us we need to teach them. In 1 John chapter 1, it says that this is done, this is a paraphrase of it, but this is done so that you may have the joy. The magic of recording. I can go check my source and make sure I know what it says. 1 John chapter 1 verse 4. 1 John chapter 1. Actually, let's read the first four verses. The first four verses of 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And the verse that I was talking about, we write this to make our joy complete. I believe that hour is theirs and mine and yours. All of us. We want our joy to be complete. Part of that is forgiveness. Part of that is being an imitator of Christ. They're talking here about the Word and about seeing Christ. And they're talking that they're testifying about it, saying, we have seen it. We know this is true. We know you need to know this. There is a reason that forgiveness needs to be a living thing. Because the actual act of forgiving is the birth of the process of forgiveness. Jesus' death on the cross was the birth of the process of forgiveness. All can receive that forgiveness. All can get the ticket to heaven through that forgiveness. But there's more to that package. There's following God's word and God's plan of salvation. Our joy will be complete when we are true imitators of Christ, ones who follow all of His word, ones who know that God's forgiveness is something that we need to pass on to others. And that forgiveness needs to be from the heart. Jesus put forgiveness to the ultimate level, because Jesus forgave us through His death, burial, and resurrection. He died to forgive us. That's pretty strong forgiveness. What is our level of forgiveness? Because of God's forgiveness, we can be in heaven and all the comforts of being with God and being with Jesus rather than the torments of hell. Please forgive others and show God's forgiveness to others. Hopefully you'll be able to be back here next time for another message on God's Word. And you can listen to gospel music 24 hours a day. Thank you.